The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray here in the studio, joined by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol as well. And we continue with our focus on the Champions League final, which we are now just one day away from. And today, the big topic is Sadio Mane's future. Yesterday, Mohamed Salah. This time, Sadio Mane, though, it has to be said, his quote about it was a little different to his teammates. He said, honestly, the answer I can give you now is I feel very good and I'm fully focused on Saturday's game. That's the answer I must give before the final. But come back to me on Saturday and I will give you the best answer you want to hear, for sure.
Oh, OK.
It's special. I will give you all what you want to hear then.
Oh, OK. Thank
There's
you.
There's been rumours of
Thank you, Sadio.
Him possibly going to Bayern, and even Carlo Ancelotti's had to answer of whether Real Madrid could be a destination for him. Anyway, Jurgen Klopp himself said, the Bayern Munich rumours, I couldn't care less at the moment. He's completely focused on the game. It's not the first time in my career Bayern Munich rumours are coming up before decisive matches. Wherever Sadio plays his football next season, he will be a big player. Well, we're going to get some reaction to this from Paris. Here's Alexis Nunes and the crew with their thoughts on what we've seen.
Yeah, thanks, Kay. And we've switched scenes because this is the place to be. The Stade de France in less than 24 hours now. We're going to have the Champions League final. The game will be underway. We've got Jules joining me as well as Augie. Plenty to talk about, guys. Very busy day. But one thing I definitely did not expect to talk about when we woke up this morning was the rumors linking Sadio Mane, of all people, on the eve of the Champions League final to Bayern Munich. Augie, what did you make of these?
Well, we know that Sadio Mane's contract expires in 12 months, and I don't think he's really happy that all the focus has been on Mo Salah's contract, which expires in 12 months.
Men and their egos.
Well, so the Bayern Munich link has been there for maybe 3 or 4 weeks now, and it's not going away. I'd be surprised if he went to Bayern Munich, because I think he's 29. He's not the sort of Bayern Munich signing that we're used to. It wouldn't be a direct replacement for Robert Lewandowski. But Mane wants some sort of a bit of love, I guess, from Liverpool to say, look, I'm as important as Mo Salah. And if Salah gets a new contract, a big contract, which he may not want to sign, Sadio Mane wants the same sort of, you know, love and affection. So I think it might drag on. But the way he's been speaking, Sadio Mane, suggests that he's going to make a big announcement after the final. And I don't think that's him saying, I'm staying, because it's you said that before the game, surely.
Jules, what do you make of it? Do you agree with Augie?
Yeah, completely. And I think not just all the talk of, you know, about Mo Salah, but even between the club and Mo Salah and his agent, there's been nothing for Mane, not the start of negotiation, not even a discussion. And I think if you're Mane, you feel maybe hurt is too hard, but you feel like, okay, a bit left out. Why is it just on Salah? And I think Mane knows very well that if they give the bumper contract to Salah, the new one, around 400,000 a week, there's not enough money, I think, in the wage bill to give that to another player. So it's either him or Salah who would get the big extension. And if you're him, his agent is German. He knows Bayern Munich very well. Bayern Munich have Serge Gnabry, who is also with 1 year left on his contract.
Yep.
There's a problem there. He could come in and replace Serge Gnabry.
Augie, what do you make of the timing, though, of these rumours and the fact that nobody's really rubbishing them either, especially on the eve of, as I said, the Champions League final? Could this be a distraction in any way?
It's not great timing. I think you compare his reaction to Mo Salah's. Mo Salah was asked the same question on Wednesday, and he said, my contract is not an issue at the moment, but I will be here next season. So that killed that one for now. Obviously it's a big issue in 12 months time, but he killed it. Sadio Mane went the other way. He wouldn't talk about his contracts, and he left it hanging. He was almost teasing people by saying, I will explain after the Champions League final. Now, if he was going to stay, surely he'd say, look, I'm staying, guys, don't worry about it, we'll get the game out of the way. But he said, I'll tell you after the final, which suggests to me that he wants to go.
Jules, are you feeling that vibe too?
Yeah, and I can understand. He's had a great season, he feels a bit left out. Maybe it's the right time for him to go, and maybe it's the right time for Liverpool to get a bit of money for him. I don't know how much with 1 year left on his contract, getting soon 30 as well, but they will get some money.
All right, well, I guess we'll put that to bed for now because we have to concentrate on the big one, the Champions League final. Like I said, coming up in less than 24 hours. Augie went to Liverpool's training because we had to get some answers. There's some injury concerns going into this one in regards to Fabinho as well as Thiago Alcantara. Some people probably saying, how do Liverpool go on without Thiago Alcantara? He has been absolutely brilliant for him. What did you see?
Well, Thiago trained, Fabinho trained, and Virgil van Dijk trained. Virgil van Dijk hasn't played for, I think, 2 weeks as well. It wasn't the most intense training session, but they looked fine. There was no issue. There was no sprinting session anyway, but they looked fine. They looked like they were engaged. One thing I did notice when Real Madrid train later on, theirs was much more intense, much more like small-sided games, much more pressing, much more attacking. So maybe there's something in that. Maybe Klopp wanted to keep it back a little bit. But Thiago looked fine and Fabinho looked fine too.
So how do you see them lining up? Do you start both of them then?
I think they will start both. I think it'll be a midfield of Henderson, Thiago and Fabinho. And if Thiago can't make it, maybe Naby Keita. But I do think Klopp wants Thiago to start. He needs Thiago to start. Liverpool need to keep the ball. And without Thiago, they can't keep the ball and move the ball as well as they need to, because obviously Luka Modric and Toni Kroos can do to them what Thiago can do to Real Madrid.
Jules, do you agree? Because I know you're not the biggest fan of Henderson starting there. So what do you think?
Not for me. I would have Naby Keita ahead of Henderson. Maybe Augie is right. Maybe Klopp will go with Henderson because of the experience. Of course, he was there when he played the key part when they won it. And because of the legs and the energy that he brings, I think in a game like this, against this kind of Real Madrid team, you need more than just that. And that's why I think Keita, even with his ability to counter-press, would be very, very interesting in a game like this, especially if Thiago is not fully fit and Keita can take off a little bit of the pressure with the ball that Thiago will have, because Liverpool will rely a lot on him.
All right, well, we wanted to send Jules to Real Madrid's training, but he was too busy being a VIP at Roland Garros, so he didn't get to go. Thankfully, Augie did. But Jules, how do you see Real Madrid lining up? And I suppose the main question is, who gets the privilege to play up front with Vini Jr. and Karim the Dream? I know you love to call
Karim
him that.
Karim the Dream. I think it would be Valverde.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Carlo Ancelotti to change anything, in the sense that the teams that played with Valverde before worked well. Then you can bring on Rodrigo, you can bring on Camavinga, no problem. But you will start with Cruz, Casemiro and Modric, with Benzema, Vinicius and Valverde, who gives you something different, because when you don't have the ball, it's almost a 4-4-2 and it comes a bit deeper in midfield. The back four, there was question mark over Alaba. He trained very, very nicely. He had no problems at all in the little 10v10, that 11v11 that they did. So Alaba will be there with Militao, Carvajal and Mendy.
Augie, is that what you see?
I think so. I think Real, you know, Ancelotti just trusts the players who deliver for him, doesn't he? And he's not a guy that will make a lot of changes. This isn't a Pep Guardiola situation where Ancelotti will go to bed tonight overthinking. Carlo will be very calm. He'll have picked his team days ago and just trust his guys. That's what he does. He trusts his players to deliver. And I think Carlo said, you know, you're the guys that got us here. Do it again.
The Mr. Carletto, ever the calm head, isn't he? All right, well, before we get you guys' predictions, Jules, who do the people of Paris want to see win this one? I know they've recently had a too close for comfort relationship with Real Madrid, but that obviously ended up in PSG's favour. But who would they want to see win this?
I think it's still Real Madrid because of Karim Benzema, of course, even if at times he had a difficult relationship with the French public.
Yeah.
Now they kind of have reconnected since he joined back the national team. And also there's Ferland Mendy, who grew up a few kilometres behind the stadium here, who at some point didn't think he would have a career in football because of a really bad injury. For him to have made it the way he did and to be here tomorrow with all his family, I think he's got 25 or 26 tickets or something crazy. Everybody will come from the Mendy camp. It's quite special. So I think as much as they like Liverpool as well in Paris, I think Real Madrid will slightly have the edge.
All right, Augie, prediction.
I think that this game boils down to who wins the battle between Trent Alexander-Arnold and Vinicius Jr. Because we know that Trent is very good going forward, but he can leave a lot of gaps at the back. With Vinicius, I think, you know, we saw it against Man City and Kyle Walker. I think he is the big weapon for Real Madrid. So it boils down to that, and I think that Real will just shade this one.
They have been just getting by in some really tight matches so far this season. Jules, do they get your nod as well?
Yeah, I think so. I said 1-1 at the end, and we'll have a bit of extra time. And then Karim the Dream, of course.
I was going to say, Jules just wants to go to the after party.
Oh my God, bring on the party after the win.
Bring on the party. We hope we get an invite to that party too, Kay, because these two now are going for Real Madrid to win the Champions League final in less than 24 hours. Back to you guys.
And not too many have been, actually, Alexis. A few things to unpack there, but we will start with the talk about Sadio Mane and what he said, or not said, shall we say, about his future. I thought it was interesting that he said, it's special, in that quote. Very, very interesting. Now, yesterday, Stevie, you were happy with how Mo Salah handle the situation of the rumours about his future. What's your take on how Mané has?
My take on it is that I'm happy with the way he spoke. Does that make sense to you?
What are you happy about?
Well, because, you know, all the questions are, is this going to affect him right now before the big cup final? That's what everybody's saying. You know, he's not said yes, he's not said no. He said it's going to be a bit special. But his whole demeanour, regardless of whether it is yes or no, is relaxed. He's got a smile on his face, so he doesn't look stressed.
Is he toying with them?
Not at all. I think he knows what he's doing. He's not telling us. He's probably been told by Klopp, look, just, you know, it's all about the boys, it's all about the team. Let's just wait till we're finished. And then whatever you're going to do, then let everybody know. But let's just concentrate on the game. And as I said, the most important thing is his demeanour. You talk about relax and a smile on your face. Listen, somebody who's upset, not happy, feels like being left out, like Jules was saying, doesn't act like that.
Unless you're not going to be there any longer.
It felt a bit ominous, the quote. I didn't know what to make of it.
But what I'm saying, from my point of view, the key is that it doesn't look like it's going to make any difference to him tomorrow in the game.
Correct.
All right, so
that's the key.
Okay, so if it's not going to make any difference, but what did you read into the quote that he gave?
Well, I just think it was a wasted opportunity for him, if indeed he was going to stay at Liverpool, to say, hey, stop the rumors, stop the conversation. I'm staying at Liverpool. Hey, nothing to see here, nothing to talk about. And then we're not having this conversation, which then tells me by extension, as a byproduct of that, that he's not going to be in Liverpool, that he is very much at peace with that decision. And to your point, very relaxed about it, will not affect his performance, but he's essentially saying, it's been great at Liverpool, we're going to close it in a great manner, we're going to win this thing, and then after that, see you guys later. If that's the case, then I don't think Liverpool fans would be all that concerned about his quality of performance and how it affects Liverpool, because he may or may not be distracted. I don't think he's distracted at all, but I do read into it between the lines in him saying, yeah, this has been great, but I'm not going to be here for much longer.
So if it doesn't affect him specifically, how does it affect the dressing room?
Doesn't. Everybody's concentrating on the game. They don't care. You know, players are very selfish at the end of the day. You know, when something like this comes up, all the players are not coming in every day going, oh, what's he going to do? Do you think he's going to sign? Oh, how much is he going to get? What do you think he's going to get? What do you think he's going to ask for?
And you're certainly not going to the player and go, hey, Sadio, what are you going to do?
I won't tell anybody, right? Just tell me. I won't tell anybody else.
I won't. Okay.
Players know this goes on. This happens. It happens every year somewhere. Not always at the big clubs, but eventually at the big clubs. And this year it's Liverpool's turn. So it doesn't affect the dressing room at all.
Now, if indeed there is validity to what the guys were saying in terms of, okay, that Mohamed Salah feels the love and Sadio Mane does not, and then Bayern Munich is willing to show him that love, then I think you can go down that path and understand that for him it makes sense to move away. But in terms of the effect on the game, the impact on his performance, I don't see it at all.
I'm still not convinced he's leaving.
I don't think
Bayern Munich don't pay the money.
Ancelotti was asked about him as a Real Madrid player, and he told the journalist, you're brave asking that at this time with this game ahead. I'm not going to get drawn into this, but he's a great player. So there's a few names getting thrown out there.
Well, exactly. Listen, the journalists are just doing what journalists do. They're trying to stir the pot. They're trying to get somebody to say something so that they can just splash something on the front or the back page, whatever suits, if they can get it. That's all that was.
OK, well, we heard a couple of journalists there talking about the training session that they saw, and it does bring us back up to Thiago and Fabinho. Sticking with it, starting them, Stevie?
Yeah, you've got to start them. The problem is, particularly with a hamstring, you can train and do this and do the exercises and do it all, but there is a little foible in football, in professional football in particular, with a hamstring. In a proper game, in a real game, that's where the real test comes. As I said, you can do your stretching and you can do some running and you can do shadow stuff, but when that whistle goes, and Thiago and Fabinho in particular have to make that quick decision, that quick movement, that quick acceleration, whatever it is, then that's the test for the hamstring in a proper game. And so, yes, you start them, but until they make that movement, you don't know.
Is it worth the risk?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's Champions League final, so it is worth the risk. And you know full well how important these two players are for the success of that midfield, playing against Real Madrid and the players that they have available. The strength of Real Madrid, while we focus on Benzema and Vinicius, the strength of Real Madrid, if indeed they're going to be successful, is trying to dominate the game through that midfield. So, of course, if you're Liverpool, how do we counteract that? Well, the quality of possession of Thiago Alcántara and the quality of movement of Fabinho defensively and how he's able to cover spaces. Now, to Stevie's point is, okay, that hamstring, not only as a player are you concerned about, if I make this movement, am I going to expose myself and is this going to get worse? You have that in the back of your mind, and yet you're having to perform at a high level because of the circumstances, because of the platform that you are going to be exposed. So you have to make a conscious decision as a player to, look, I'm going to go. I'm going to play. If it goes, if the hamstring goes, then so be it. But you cannot go out there trying to protect it and nurse it and make it through 90 minutes and not be able to make the quick decision or the quick sprint or get to this space or get to that space because you're protecting the hamstring. That's the part that I would be concerned. If you think, you know what, I'm not going to get there because I don't know that I can trust it, then Liverpool have a problem.
So that's to do with injury and whether a manager decides to play them. We also heard them talking about Real Madrid, Ale, and starting Valverde over Rodrigo. There's a feeling from the Madrid camps, from the journalists over there, that that will be the case. Do you think it's the right decision from Ancelotti?
100% the right decision from Ancelotti. And there are two ways to look at this. In the case of Valverde in particular, when you look at Real Madrid and you look at that midfield that I just mentioned, if they're controlling the game, if they're controlling possession, everything is good, everything is smooth. But if they're in a back and forth, you need speed. Real Madrid does not like speed when they're being attacked. And that midfield does not like speed around them. And so you need athleticism. Where do you get that athleticism? It's from Fede Valverde, because he's able to cover the ground offensively, but more importantly, he's able to cover the ground defensively, where he can give you help. He can add numbers to that midfield for Real Madrid. The other thing that you do in starting Valverde ahead of Rodrigo is, if you need a spark off the bench, you have it in Rodrigo. If you need somebody to change the game, he has proven that he can change the game, that he can be a difference maker. You don't want to limit yourself. If you put Rodrigo out there, then who changes the game for you if you're Real Madrid when you need it late in the match, when you're chasing? What do you do? How do you react if you have limited options? I think from both perspectives, it makes sense for Carlo Ancelotti to start Fede Valverde.
And then there's a huge feeling from many that a big part in this game will be who wins that battle between Vinicius Jr. and Trent Alexander-Arnold. First of all, who do you think is going to get the better of who? Who's going to come out on top? And as Mark says, do you think it will have a factor on the outcome of the game?
Well, there's a couple of answers to give you here. And I'll answer the question you asked, right? Which is, if Vinicius Jr. gets the ball consistently and gets after either A, the space that Alexander-Arnold leaves, or gets one-on-one with Alexander-Arnold, there's only one winner. And it's not Alexander-Arnold. However, as important as a duel as we're talking about here with Vinicius and Alexander-Arnold, we seem to forget that you've got two fullbacks that Real Madrid have that, in my opinion, are not particularly brilliant defenders either. And one of them's up against Diaz. And guess who the other one's up against? So, as important for Liverpool as Vinicius, how Vinicius is handled, it's just as important for Real Madrid that their two fullbacks don't get left one-on-one with Liverpool's attackers, because it's the same argument. Both sides of the field, Mo Salah and Diaz against Mendy and Carvajal. So if you want to look at a positive point of view for Liverpool, it's 2v1. Because there's only Vinicius on one side, because as Ali said, Valverde, 100%, is going to be in there to do that job that Ali was talking about. And I'll bet you Klopp's already picked their team. Never mind Ancelotti. Klopp will have picked their team, and what you saw on the board that the boys put up, 100% will be their team.
Because Trent's obviously been asked about it. He was in one of the pre-match press conferences this week, just the latest one, actually, and he did mention, you know, there's going to be battles all over the pitch. We've got a plan anyway. In this specific battle, though, Trent against Vinny, who's coming out on top, Ali?
A lot of it will depend on the moments of transition for both teams. Trent Alexander-Arnold likes to get forward, and I think Liverpool depend on his service from that right-hand side. And so if he's indeed given the freedom to receive the ball in the attacking half and have the ability to serve the ball for Liverpool, and Vinicius is nowhere to be found, that means that Vinicius is cheating defensively. If Real Madrid do not address that, Trent Alexander-Arnold will continue to park himself in that sort of position, and Fabinho will cover for Alexander-Arnold. That's going to be the logical move for Liverpool, and that, okay, once Trent goes up, Fabinho then covers Vinicius Jr. If Vinicius, as we said, is going to cheat defensively, but then he has the ability to be isolated, attacking that space, attacking Fabinho, or attacking Trent, in transition, it means that Real Madrid has been able to force turnovers through the midfield. And that's where Real Madrid is going to find either success or difficulties. If they're not getting close enough to people defensively through the midfield, and they're not able to force those turnovers, then Vini Jr. parked up top is not going to help you, because you don't have the outlet. You don't have the ball to find the outlet. That is the key for me. Not so much Trent against Vinny, is what do we win here in the midfield so that then we can either find Trent going one way or Vinny going the other way. If you force Trent Alexander-Arnold back, now Liverpool, I think, lose an outlet down the right-hand side, and that's beneficial for Real Madrid. I understand that we want to make this 1v1, but 1v1 only becomes important if you're able to control the possession of the ball and force turnover in the right areas.
Just out of interest, as a defender, how are you trying to defend against Vinny?
Well, you bring him inside to where all the traffic is. Mm. Listen, if you know he's faster than you, you can't give him the outside because he'll just knock it past you. He doesn't need to do 16 step overs and three triple salchos, you know. You know, football's a simple game that's complicated by players sometimes. You know, if I know I can outrun the guy I'm playing against for fun, then I just knock it past him. So you can't show him the outside. You got to try and take him somewhere where it becomes 2v1 or 3v1. Or you just take him inside where, as I said, all the bodies are, and then you get help.
But at some point, Trent is going to have to show some toughness defensively. I know it's not natural to him, but he's going to have to show some toughness defensively, because the one thing that we know about Vinicius Jr. is that he's going to keep coming at you. He may do the triple salchow, he may do the 10 step overs, and he may lose it 10 times, but then there's going to be an 11th time where he's going to try it again. He's going to keep coming, he's going to keep putting pressure on you. And if Trent is not up for it, then I think Real Madrid have an advantage.
The key is what Ali said about Fabinho. Because do you think for one second that Klopp and his staff, and everybody, by the way, and anybody watching the game knows that Trent Alexander, one-on-one defending, it's not his game. But you know what? They understand that what they get from him going the other way, they're happy to take that on. They're happy to say to themselves, right, because of what we get for this guy going forward, we'll accept what his deficiencies are, and with Fabinho, we will try and help him and help the team by getting him over there to block whoever's against him. It's just a fact. They know it. We all know it. But you've just got to try and counter it.
And that's where the hamstring comes in for Fabinho.
But be correct. You know, the one word I didn't use earlier when we were talking about it is stress.
Yeah.
The stress you get in a proper game is completely different to when you're training and running, because the stress level isn't there. Mm. So when that whistle goes, that's when the stress level just takes off.
Yeah, lots of key battles and more talk about them on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. Make sure to go and download that wherever you do get your podcasts. Robbo's involved too.
Oh, okay. All right. Excellent.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's continue our chat on the Champions League final between Liverpool and Real Madrid tomorrow. We'll send it back out to Paris and Alexis Nunes.
Thanks, Kayo. We swapped the boys out, and now we've got two other strapping gentlemen, Gab Marcotti and Stuart Robson. They're back. Gab, have to pick your brain on the Sadio Mane to Bayern Munich rumours and just the timing of it, because as Augie mentioned, these rumours have been floating about lightly for the last couple of weeks, but now they seem to be getting some traction. Thoughts on the timing of it and if it could actually happen?
I don't think this is linked to the Champions League final, to be honest. I think this is simply, I think Jules touched upon this earlier, this is a situation where Sadio Mane, he's got a year left on his contract, just like Mohamed Salah. He may or may not be the priority out of the two. Bayern Munich have a Lewandowski situation, of course, also a year left on his contract. And more importantly, I think Serge Gnabry, also a year left on his contract, and they do want to extend him. So, throw in the fact that he has a German agent, he speaks German from his time in Austria, and inevitably I think these stories are going to come out. Whether it comes to fruition, I don't know, because Bayern certainly have indicated that they would prioritize younger targets.
Mm. Robert, what do you think of it? And could this be at all any of a distraction going into this Champions League final?
I don't think it's a distraction. Certainly not for the other players, the other Liverpool players. And I think Gab's right. Jules is right. I don't think it's anything to do with the Champions League. He's just not particularly happy at the moment that he hasn't been offered, you know, there hasn't been any sort of negotiations. I don't think it's going to be any distraction for the players whatsoever. Or Mane. I'm sure he'll have a decent game again.
So all mind games that we know definitely love to come to the front before these massive matches. Well, just speaking of this one as well, with the most respect to Bayern Munich, but why would Mane want to leave Liverpool? They're definitely, I suppose, in almost everyone's top two best teams in the world right now. They could have probably gotten a quadruple. They went down to the very last day of the Premier League. They just missed out on that title. They have a great chance. They are favourites going into this Champions League final. So why would he want to leave Liverpool to Bayern Munich?
I don't know. It's a question of him wanting to leave. I think it's a question of him wanting a contract. In a year's time, June 2023, unless he signs a new deal, he's not going to be able to play for Liverpool. So you could look at it and say, oh, why don't you stay and run out your contract? But would that be advantageous to Liverpool if they're not going to extend him? I mean, this is always the thing that we have to remember. Liverpool spent money on Jota. They spent money on Luis Diaz and stuff. In some ways, they have the replacement for one of those two guys, which is a very, very smart situation to be in. At the same time, you could afford to let one of your two stars go if you get the right price, rather than losing them for nothing at the end of the season. Liverpool do not have limitless funds. They have to run themselves like a real business.
Robert, what do you think? He still seems like quite a fan favourite at Liverpool, so why would he want to leave?
As Gab said, because there might not be enough money for him and Salah, and he wants as much money as probably Salah's got. They've got two replacements
for him.
Same,
they're both greedy.
No, they're not greedy, but they want to be
valued. They know their
talent. They want to be valued. He's been a top-class player for Liverpool. And, you know, you mentioned about Liverpool being could have been a quadruple winners. Going to Bayern Munich wouldn't be a bad move for him.
No.
He's still going to play top-class football. He's still going to be an outstanding player. He could take the place of Lewandowski if need be. He could take the place of Gnabry. We know he can play in two different positions. So he'd be the ideal replacement at Bayern Munich.
All right. Well, just the other day, we were talking about X factors on both Real Madrid and Liverpool. Let's talk about Real Madrid now. Somebody that definitely has stood out this season. I got to have the privilege of seeing his debut, where he scored on debut for Real Madrid at the Santiago Bernabeu. Eduardo Camavinga. Gab, just how tempted would Carlo Ancelotti be to start him, especially when we talk about the aging midfield of Real Madrid, and we saw exactly how much he can affect the game in a positive way after that semi-final turnaround against City?
That's very true, but of course he affected the game off the bench. I think long-term, you know, any manager gets excited about that right foot, left foot, Valverde-Camavinga combination. But you have Toni Kroos there. You've got Casemiro there. You've got Modric there. You can only send 11 guys out onto the pitch at any one time. I think I wouldn't exclude the possibility of a Carlo curveball, but I don't think it would be something like Camavinga. He's been very loyal to his players. The players have responded. They've been loyal to him. Being able to take him off the bench for an energy boost is a real luxury and could be decisive in a game like this.
And the other problem with Camavinga, if you started with him, which I don't think he will, Camavinga, in most of the games that he started, gets booked fairly early on in games, and then he's under pressure. And Carlo Ancelotti's actually taken him off at half-time in about three games this season because he got an early booking. So he's going to start with Kroos, and Camavinga will probably be a replacement at some stage in the game.
Well, we were just talking about Real Madrid's potential 11. We had Jules say exactly what he's expecting. We know Carlo Ancelotti is a man to stick to his guns, stick to his ways. He does keep a calm, cool head as well. Very rarely gets too flustered, unlike certain Italians here as well. Gab, how much tinkering with his team can we see, or how late or how much does he wait before he makes these big decisions?
I mean, pre-game, assuming Alaba is fully fit, I wouldn't expect that you're going to see a change, especially knowing that, again, the indications are that Fabinho and Thiago will both start. Were one of them not starting, if we would see, you know, maybe more Henderson and Milner in there, maybe he might be tempted to play more of a possession game, maybe change things around a little bit in his approach. As it is, I think the only potential curve might be starting Rodrigo for Valverde, and I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to go with the lineup that got him here. During the game, obviously, you know, you can bring Rodrigo off the bench for change of pace. You can bring Asensio, who I think in some ways has been overlooked. And obviously, you've got the Camavinga factor. So you can rely on all those things. You can bring in Nacho as well if you need to bolster up a little bit at the back. If Liverpool send on more strikers, or if, you know, you're having difficulty handling Diaz one-on-one. So you have those alternatives. I think Ancelotti, he doesn't toot his own horn, but I think he'd be pretty confident in his ability of as an in-game manager, making the right substitutions at the right time, and I think he wants to keep his powder dry there.
Robert, do you foresee any curveballs?
No, I think the first change that he would normally make, if they're struggling, I think Rodrigo would come onto the right-hand side, and he'd take Toni Kroos off, Modric would go to the left-hand side, and Valverde would tuck in on the right-hand side of the midfield three. I think that'd be the first change. And then Camavinga might be the next one to come on to add that little bit of bite and that little bit of energy to get Real Madrid back into the game. But he's not going to make too many changes before the game. That's what he's been criticised in Spain for, not making too many changes, playing with the same line-out week in, week out. But it's actually worked for him. It's worked brilliantly for him. The players know exactly what the system is. They've formed these combinations all over the pitch, and I think he's done an excellent job.
The one wrinkle I would throw in there, though, which might make this slightly different, is for the past 3 weeks, they've basically rested, right? They've played some games here, some games there. He's never had this luxury. So I'm just wondering if maybe that might prompt a slightly different approach, if his indications are that maybe they had a mini physical top-up, some kind of shortened preseason in there, something that might be the only thing that might prompt a curveball at this stage.
All right, well, we have something special coming up for you guys, but before I get it, let me get some quick predictions. Gab, starting with you, now that we're less than 24 hours away.
I find it so hard to call. My prediction is that it's not going to extra time. But you want to win it, don't?
Come on.
All right, okay, all right. I'll say Real Madrid 2-1.
Real Madrid 2-1. All right, so you're sticking with Jules and Augie's picks?
I'm going to go with Liverpool 2-1. I stay with what I said yesterday. Frank said 3-1, I said 2-1. I'm sticking with it, Liverpool.
All right, well, if you thought that this game was the only spicy thing that we're treating you to this weekend, have a look at this special feature. It's how we like to predict things during the UEFA Champions League final week. I'm just going to say it has to do with Frank Leboeuf, Stuart Robson in aprons. Have a look. As you know, here at ESPN FC, every year when it's leading up to the Champions League final, we like to do a nice little predicting game where we try to predict the winner of the Champions League final in a very creative way. So forget when in Rome, because this is when in France, and when in France you make croissants, right? So I've got Stuart Robson and Frank Leboeuf, who is here, and they're going to be representing the two teams in the final. Robbo is going to be representing
Real Madrid.
And Frank, you're going for Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Liverpool. Yeah.
That's because he hates Real Madrid.
He's angry that Real Madrid dumped out Chelsea, right?
A bit.
A bit.
Just a bit.
You guys ready?
We are.
Let's go for it.
We're ready. Let's bake.
I think you need to be a bit more aggressive.
That was his weakness.
Come on, Robbo. Be aggressive. Be
not
be
aggressive.
Delphine, am I good?
Yes, very nice.
Don't forget I'm French.
Now it is the moment where we can find a winner in this prediction game. The croissants have been made, the pain au chocolat have been made. Mine are perfect, but they're just too good to be added to go up against these guys. So it's between Robbo, who's representing Real Madrid, Frank is representing Liverpool, Delphine, I know you know which ones are already going to win.
Hang on, before Delphine, we go on.
Oh, yes, before.
Just before we go on, it's all about who was listening the hardest, who paid attention, who tried to do the right thing.
Robbo,
not
you can't
not just about all this wit and all laughing around.
Okay,
all the time.
He has his words. He can say whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. But don't forget, with me, you will never walk alone.
Oh, jeez.
So I would just like congratulate you for the croissant, because you both made some really nice croissant. And I would say that I feel like Stuart's pain au chocolat are rolled a bit better.
Oh,
just
because
here the seam is too much outside.
Well, but it works because
so you weren't listening. You weren't listening, Frank.
She's right, but it doesn't look like a pain au chocolat, those ones. So whatever.
So I would say 7 out of 10 and 8 out of 10.
Oh!
So it's very close.
Oh. You know what? You play crap.
Yeah.
And you win. Like Real Madrid.
So Real Madrid is the winner. If we're going to go by our croissant pain au chocolat challenge, that means Real Madrid, thanks to Robbo, will win the Champions League final come this weekend. And you know what? The way things have been going for Real Madrid, it's not out of the ordinary.
So even though Robbo went with Real Madrid,
I'm a good listener.
He's a good listener. He flirted his way out of it, though, Gab.
He certainly did. I think she really, really likes her. She has a thing for...
He also told her she has a nice smile after.
Did he?
Well, she did have a nice smile. There's no question about that.
Look at Robbo. What a strapping gentleman.
And I won.
And it's obviously not a bald thing, because obviously Frank was pretty well versed in that category as well.
Yes, Frank is absolutely offended. That's why he couldn't come here tonight. But he'll be back with us tomorrow. Don't you worry, Kay. But as for now, look at Robbo. He might have to come over to Bristol so that he can make croissants and pain au chocolat for all of us.
Yeah, Frank's croissant's not World Cup winning, shall we say. For more on that segment, go and check out our YouTube page over ESPNFC. Subscribe there for more content like that. There you have it. Real Madrid are going to win the Champions League because of Robbo's croissant.
I got that wrong, by the way. It's not about what it looks like, it's how it tastes.
Are you a chocolate croissant fan?
No.
No? But you've just been, you know, you tried garlic fried rice the other night. You've been trying some new things.
Baby steps, one step at a time.
Why not a chocolate croissant? Who doesn't like a chocolate croissant?
Pain au chocolat.
I don't think I've ever had a chocolate croissant, actually.
All right, I'll bring you one in. See what you think.
Right, please.
All right.
Cook it.
LA?
What?
You a fan of French pastries?
I tell you, this particular way of figuring out who's going to win the Champions League was biased and skewed from the very beginning. This...
Here, here.
To be honest with you, there was no chance that Frank was ever going to listen to anybody to tell him how to make a croissant upon the chocolat. I can sense him. I can see him. I can picture him just ignoring whatever he was being told. He's like, "Did you know I'm Frank Leboeuf? I won the World Cup, huh? With France. And you're going to tell me how to do this?"
Surprised they ate. I'm surprised they actually produced anything because he was just talking so much. I'm surprised they got anything done.
Huh? They did say he didn't listen to a word.
Ah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And whereas I can picture Stewie going like step by step, and you know how he was looking at that dough, and he was like rolling it, and it was everything was very exact. There was no hope for Frank in this particular competition, if you want to call it that.
Frank even told the woman who was the expert that he knew better than her.
Yes.
That's what Frank's like.
Yeah.
But what chance?
So this battle didn't really mean anything then, as you can see. But one battle it will, that I want to touch on that we didn't get to, is the battle between Virgil van Dijk, especially with the fact that he's had a bit of time out to rest ahead of this final, and Karim Benzema. How do you see that one playing out?
Well, we always say it's easier to defend than it is to attack. And so I'm going to go with Virgil van Dijk. You know, the one thing with Van Dijk's injury is that he doesn't want to have people running in behind him. And certainly Benzema's not going to be doing that. So the one thing that Virgil van Dijk does not want isn't going to happen. Everything else he can deal with, whether it's Benzema or anybody else. So I think Virgil van Dijk will come out on top of Benzema.
Because Stevie, he'd said that he feels good ahead of this, Virgil van Dijk, that he did want some time out ahead of this. Are you all right to have that time out to then go back into a game of this magnitude?
What, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It's not like 2 months. I mean, so he misses one game.
Right, so it's not a big deal.
Well, actually, it turned out to be two games. But so you've sat out for 1 week, basically. That doesn't affect anything. That's a nice break for somebody that's played a lot of games. That's all, nothing else.
And while we may focus on the potential matchup of Van Dijk and Benzema, when we talk about Karim Benzema, one of the things that we mention time and time again is that he's able to pop out in different spaces, that he will end up at one point or another inside the 18-yard box, but he may start the sequence down the right. He may be underneath. He may be combining on the left with Vinicius Jr. That's what makes it challenging to keep up with Karim Benzema. That is not, hey, I got you and I got you for the rest of the day and that's it. It's you and me. No. Yeah, there'll be moments in which it will be Van Dijk against Benzema, but it's going to be whoever else is in that back line for Liverpool having to address, okay, where is he, and how do we keep up with his movement? And it's not only the back four, it's also guys from the midfield helping out when he drops underneath. That's a part that is going to be very challenging for Liverpool to address Benzema. It's not the 1v1. And the 1v1, Van Dijk is better than most. It's the rotation and the movement and the freedom that he has to go in different places.
It's been well documented that Liverpool are the favourites coming into this game. Yesterday, everybody went for Liverpool on the show. We've heard from our guys in Paris today, a lot more going for Real Madrid. Jules, Mark Ogden, Gab, when pushed, went for Real Madrid. Robbo, even though he won the croissant competition, actually did go for Liverpool. We promised everyone Stevie's prediction on this show, so I'll come to you last on this, Stevie. Ali, who are you going for? And how is it going to play out?
Well, I can tell you that I was coming into this show thinking, yeah, this is all Real Madrid, just because of how they got here. It almost seems as if they're destined to win this and how many times they were left for dead, and somehow here they are, once again, with a one-off opportunity to win Champions League. But to hear Gab pick Real Madrid gave me all sorts of despair. It makes me feel all sorts of uncomfortable. And to hear now people that were not picking Real Madrid earlier in Champions League, before all these comebacks, and to hear them say, well, no, now Real Madrid, I think their favorite's coming in. I think Real Madrid has thrived in the role of sort of, yeah, it's us against Manchester City, it's us against Chelsea. Yeah, we're not playing well, and somehow we find a way because of this spirit, because we believe, because it's our history. It is our destiny indeed. But then now more people are picking Real Madrid. That makes me nervous. However, I don't care if I'm nervous. I'm not nervous the night before a big game. I sleep very well. I'm going to say Real Madrid continue the run and they finish it off against Liverpool because of my concerns in the midfield for Liverpool. If those guys are not quite right, both Fabinho and Thiago Alcantara, it will show on the field. And if it does show, I think it gives Real Madrid an advantage.
Stevie?
Well, if you believe in hocus pocus, then you go for Real Madrid, oh, right? Because that's all
hocus
it is.
Pocus.
I can throw. I've got the hocus pocus on Liverpool. Oh, Liverpool shouldn't even have been in the Champions League this year because they had to rely on a last-minute winner from the goalkeeper from a header to actually get in the tournament.
So there's so not nothing to do with Real Madrid's World Cup players.
If you want hocus pocus, then there's your hocus pocus for you. How about we concentrate on what they're capable of doing on the field? How about
6-0 Liverpool?
Will go take the names away. I will take the names away and put two other teams up. I will always go for the team who are more consistent and who produce a certain level of performance every single time they step on the field.
Not the league winners.
Excuse me?
Not the league winners in La Liga.
Well, see, you're trying to be clever now. But if you want to stick to facts, we're talking about a level of performance.
Well, the facts are the
hocus pocus. How many times have you watched this show and Ali sat there going, well, you know what, they haven't played well. Yeah. They didn't play well. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Right? So I'm going for the team.
Won.
I'm going for the team that's like that every time they step on the field. And I'm certainly not going for the team who were completely outplayed against PSG, completely outplayed pretty much against Chelsea, completely outplayed by Man City. But somehow this team, the great thing about this team is they get it done. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're relying on, well, they get it done. If that's your go-to, well, we just get it done. How about you go with consistency and quality, yes, but don't go with your hocus pocus and your we'll get it done. So that's why I'm not going for Real Madrid.
Because they're rubbish.
I said they were rubbish. I just said I'm not into hocus pocus, and they haven't been consistent.
All right, so what's
they
the
may have won
prediction?
Some games, but they haven't been consistent.
What's the score prediction?
Hocus pocus.
2-1 Liverpool.
All right. We're going to get it done in the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Hocus 2, pocus 1.
Hocus pocus.
We'll
we'll
find out tomorrow. Dan will be back with the crew looking back on the Champions League final to see.
They got it win because they get it done.
If there was any hocus pocus.
Oh. It's the destiny.
Who are you talking to, Steve?
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Rio Ferdinand was recently asked his top five centre-backs in Premier League history. He put himself first, followed by Nemanja Vidic, Virgil van Dijk, Jaap Stam, and in fifth place, John Terry. Now, I might add that John Terry had nothing to do with this broadcast where Rio picked his top five, but did hit back anyway with a bit of a Twitter spat, and on his Instagram page put up some stats and said opinions are great, but stats don't lie, backing up the numbers to say perhaps he should have been higher on that list. Rio Ferdinand said, the moment one has to start pushing their own records and stats, it's really time to start addressing the fragile ego. You're lucky I even put you in the top five after the racism case with my brother, so be thankful you made it. Now, John Terry was found not guilty of that case in July of 2012. John Terry returned this spat. A fragile ego is putting yourself at number one, Rio Ferdinand. Thanks for putting me in your top five. Is this a case of ex-players with a little too much time on their hands, do you think, Ali?
That's a question I would ask. Do they have nothing better to do? This is as petty as it could possibly be from two guys who have no reason to be defending their careers. They've been outstanding. They've had great careers, great success, individually and with their teams, and yet somehow they are thrown off by a list as to who should be number one, who should be number five, why am I not number three? Who cares? Who cares? If you're John Terry, you know what you did with your career. Do you need to be validated by Rio Ferdinand? And if you're Rio Ferdinand, why get in a back and forth? If you're comfortable with your choices, why get in a back and forth? This is childish. This is high school all over again. This is nonsense.
Stevie?
Well, the problem is, Ali, you're coming from a very rational sense of point of view.
Sorry.
Which, if you're in the situation that the two of these guys are in regarding their relationship, then you're not going to be rational. You're not going to be sensible and smart. And so whenever something like this comes up, you're going to end up having a dig. And that's all it is. And they're both wrong. Rio's actually wrong for putting himself in it, right?
Mm-hmm. For putting himself in it at all?
Yes. You don't... When somebody asks you to do something like this, mm-hmm. you always say, OK, I'll do it, but I'm not putting myself in it.
But
this
might have had a bit of a giggle with that, though, as well.
I don't think.
All right.
Apparently, John Terry did not have a giggle.
No. I don't think so. And Terry's wrong for responding. Mm-hmm. So they're both wrong, but it's not a surprise. Listen, the feud between these two guys will last forever. Forever. And so it's actually not a surprise that they're having a go at each other. But from a professional point of view, though, you don't put yourself number one. Sorry.
So two wrongs don't make a right?
No.
And that's
but they're both wrong. They're both wrong. I mean, unnecessary. This is so completely unnecessary.
All right. Well, we'll have a few questions for these two guys in the latest edition of Extra Time. We make sure that we don't ask them to put any lists together, though, just in case. You can keep up to date with Extra Time by subscribing to our YouTube page. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And there are some big, big games when it comes to finals. The championship playoff final coming up on Sunday. Who is going to be promoted to the Premier League between Huddersfield Town and Nottingham Forest? It's the one that we always have to say is the most lucrative fixture in football. The winner of that one definitely will have a cash windfall coming in, shall we say. And some very stressful fixtures next season too in the Premier League. Extra Time coming up next. Make sure you stay with us. Hello and welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Just Ali and Stevie with us tonight. So
is that okay?
It's all right. It's okay.
You seem very underwhelmed.
Don't get too carried away.
Everyone else is in Paris.
In fact, why did you go like that? Scrumple it up. Chuck it JT later. We'll just go home.
No.
Because these two boring old geezers.
No. Well, we'll see how boring it is. We'll rate it at the end, shall we? All right. First question. Stevie, if Liverpool win tomorrow, will Klopp be regarded as the best manager in club history? He would have won one Premier League title, two Champions League titles, few other cups, and has consistently had a competitive team across all competitions.
Listen, as great as he is and has been, he's got a little bit of catching up to do. Nobody's ever going to outdo Shankly. I mean, it just won't ever happen. Next in line's got to be Bob Paisley. I mean, Bob Paisley. We've seen what's happened at Manchester United trying to go after Alex Ferguson. Can you imagine trying to go after Bill Shankly? And what did Paisley do? Not only did he go after it, he exceeded it as far as trophies were concerned. So, as great as Klopp is, he's still got a little bit of he's still got a little bit to go to reach any sort of stage like that.
So if you could read that question then as just being club history, as in all clubs, he definitely isn't anywhere near there then.
Well, I would say that no question, as I said, Shankly's the top guy. And then there are three managers whose imprint in the club will last forever as a manager. And that's Paisley, Dalglish and Klopp.
But that's at Liverpool. What if this is meaning club history, as in domestic football history? Is he way off then?
No, I don't think so.
So if this includes everyone?
Listen, if this includes everyone, there are... So we're talking about 100 years of history here, right? So in the 100 years of history, you could probably pick, in England, you could probably pick half a dozen straight off the bat, and after that you're struggling. And we're talking about 100 years. And if Klopp was to walk away from Liverpool tomorrow, there is no question that he will be remembered for what he's done in the game. For his character, for the trophies, for the way he plays the game. I mean, there are half a dozen managers in the course of the English Premier League history that have made an imprint on the English game. And he's one of them. There aren't that many.
So overall, Klopp's going to be up there.
Absolutely.
Right. Halle, if Ancelotti wins tomorrow's match, where would he be ranked in the history of managers?
All over the place, huh? The success of Carlo Ancelotti cannot be disputed, cannot be argued. The longevity of Carlo Ancelotti and the fact that he has managed in really, really tough environments. And yet he seems to thrive in this tough environment. Now, he is a completely different personality than Jurgen Klopp, at least from what we see from the outside looking in. But what you have in common from both of these managers, however they go about it, is the evidence on the field that the players react to them, that the players produce for them. And that, I think, is the best definition of a manager and what I think should be highlighted for a successful manager. Do the players out on the field in moments of stress, moments of pressure, perform and execute in a manner that allows their teams to win and win consistently? Carlo Ancelotti's teams have done that for years.
I'll tell you what they can say, it makes no difference to Ancelotti's status.
Nope.
If he wins tomorrow or not. Because what he's done, he's not going to top it. So tomorrow's game doesn't matter.
And part of what we've seen from Ancelotti this season is that he is at peace with who he is as a manager. There are a bunch of guys out there that are always sort of trying to prove themselves and trying to be smarter than the next guy. And they have to make a show of a press conference and what have you. Carlo Ancelotti is who he is, whether you like him or not, and he is going to carry himself in the manner that he wants to because he has earned that right. There's nothing apologetic about Carlo Ancelotti, and there's nothing stressful about Carlo Ancelotti, and I think the players gravitate to that this guy, he doesn't think that he's more important than the team, than any of us. He's one of us, he's our leader, and we want to play for him. What else can you say about a manager?
Stevie, both Real Madrid and Liverpool players must be nervous tonight. What are some things you did before a big game?
Oh.
Would you end up staying up for most of the night?
No, slept like a baby.
Have you ever lost any sleep?
No, not really.
Not really?
No. Not unless there's one. Listen, all of the players on these two sides have been through every single thing. You know, we've been talking all week. I've heard a lot all week about, you know, for Real Madrid, this is, you know, they're used to this. They've been here before. You know, the 113, blah, blah, blah. And all the players that are playing now know what it's about. But you can say the same thing for Liverpool. Mm. This is Liverpool's third appearance in 5 years with this team. So neither of these size players are going to lose any sleep tonight whatsoever. They're going to do these things they've always done, night before a game, whatever it was. For me, it was eating bags of crisps, drinking cans of Coke, watching the telly till about midnight and then shutting it down. Dead easy.
No problem. No
I don't think that that's what's going on nowadays.
Ali, how are you before a big game?
I think the approach I took in moments of high pressure, big World Cup qualifier, Copa America semifinal, is I've done the homework, right? I've done the study. It's almost like a final test. The night before, you can't just cram everything in and try to be successful the next day. That doesn't work. So if you feel like your preparation has been correct and you've done everything that you can to be ready for the game, then you sleep soundly and deeply, and then you wake up excited about what's ahead. However, if you're the kind of student that has been panicking ahead of this big final test, then you wake up that next day, however much sleep you got, you wake up nervous about the outcome. The one thing that I would say about players is that if there's anybody who can control what goes on the field, it's the players. So it's up to you.
You know, the tester? The tester is the sleep you have the afternoon in the game. Mm-hmm. That's the tester. If you don't sleep that afternoon,
yeah,
then you're probably not ready.
Really?
No, not ready is not the right word, but you're probably still a little bit nervous and unsure. Mm-hmm. The guys that will just have their pre-match meal, get upstairs, get the light out, put the head on the pillow and go to sleep, they'll be fine.
Because the guys were making a lot of they were really stunned to see Real Madrid training the other day. I know we heard them talking today about how it was more tactical and more intense, but they were saying, oh, you know, it was unbelievable to see them. They looked so relaxed. What's looking so relaxed in training? How do you determine a team's looking so relaxed?
No.
They were all stunned by it. I feel like every journalist talking about it.
I mean, what do you expect them to do? I mean, you know...
Well, you don't want to...
The test is not when you're watching Real Madrid and Liverpool. Mm. You know, the test is when it's a team that's come from nowhere. Mm. This is the first time they're at the ball or the big game or whatever you want to call it. Then maybe you could see some nerves.
Can you see nerves in a training session, do you think?
Well, for a team that's never been there.
Right.
And again, you'd have to spend time at both. To actually turn around and say that, it's not right.
Because not just our guys. I've heard it on podcasts from different sets of different media. They were all so stunned at how relaxed Real Madrid looked in their training session.
If you've been to different training sessions throughout the season and different times of the season, then you'll be able to tell on this training session 2 days before a Champions League final whether they're relaxed or not.
Right.
You'd have to have spent some time. But it's not unusual for teams to have a laugh and a joke and a carry on every single day.
And from our retirement, what is it that we miss the most, that most guys that retire miss the most, is that.
Carry on.
Is the back and forth with other players. And if you can't have that with your teammates in preparation for Champions League, I mean, this is in fact the moment in which you feel proud of what you have achieved and excited for what's ahead. That's why you can have a laugh. Now, as you get closer to the game, then you start focusing in, you hone in into your job, into your teammates' job, and everybody knows, okay, it's a moment to dance, if we're going to dance in Stevie's ball.
Yeah. And people like Ancelotti and Klopp, I think, are perfect for doing that, making it relaxed. You know, a lot has got to do with the coaches as well. In 84, when we played in Roma, right, our preparation the week before was getting drunk down the beach, mm-hmm. right? Their preparation was spending 2 weeks in the mountains, away from everybody, training every day and getting focused. Now, I'm sorry, but who wants to go away to the middle of nowhere for 2 weeks and have an intense training every day? You talk about draining the energy out of you.
And the moral and the of excitement. The story is?
And the moral of the story is, Roma didn't play well and they lost the cup final at home. So it's sometimes about the manager as well, to make the players relax.
Perfect for the next question. For Ale, did you ever consider becoming a manager like Stevie? What would have been your style of play had you been one?
Well, who says I'm not going to be a manager in the future then? Mm. I say.
I think it's a little early, Ali.
I say,
are we going to have a special announcement tomorrow after the Champions League final?
Look, after the Champions League final, it's going to be special. It's going to be special. Look, I think the best that I would want from my team would be a bunch of guys who enjoy being around each other and who are fully committed to what we're trying to do as a group. Maybe we're not the most talented. Maybe we don't quite have the big name players, but man, do we have character and personality. And that will get us through many big games. Now, we may not be able to compete with the best in the world, but at the very least, we're gonna make it difficult for everybody that we play against. That's sort of the personality of the team that I would want.
Would you let Stevie come in and give them a team talk?
Absolutely. I've said this 1,000 times. I would have loved to have played for Stevie Nicol. I would have loved. And not only now that I know him, I've known him for a few years, is players talk. And even when I was a player, the ongoing conversation about playing for Stevie is that it was a different experience.
I can back that up because my friend's an MLS commentator and the guys in the team that he commentates on have said the same, the guys who played for you, that they had a lot of fun playing for you, shall we say. For Stevie, if you were playing today, who would be the striker that would be the hardest to defend against?
It would be somebody like Benzema. For all the reasons we've heard over the years, it's tough to pick him up. So, and I'm talking about playing as a centre-back now. As a centre-back, I would much prefer to have a Lukaku or somebody like that. I mean, even if you want to even go as far as a Haaland, because you know what he's going to do. You know what his game's about. Now, it just so happens that even though you know what he's going to do and what his game's about, you can't stop it because he's so good. But I would much rather face Haaland than I would face Benzema. Because you never know where Benzema is. And so centre-backs love to know where their opposition is most of the time. And then half the job's done. But when you're constantly looking around for somebody and trying to figure out where they are, where they're going to be, that's a nightmare for any defender.
Is it just your job in hand, or do you think, are you scared of being made to look silly by a player like that if you're a defender?
Now, you don't think about things like that. That's more for that's, yeah, that's not, in professional football, that's not what you're thinking about.
Right.
You're not thinking about making you look stupid. You're thinking about letting yourself down, letting the team down. You want the result, all of those things, that's what you're thinking. You're not thinking about making you look stupid.
Right.
You just want to do your job well. And you just want to play against somebody who's going to make it a little easier for you.
How would you have defended against Ali?
Oh, well.
Ali? We well, I just stayed away from him. Because even Ali couldn't fall down with nobody around him.
Right? That is fair. But I would have gone close to you.
I'd have been running away.
And he's like, no, where are you going?
Give me a quick touch, me, so I'm good.
No.
Where are you going? No, I don't want to go to goal.
Last question. Ali's favourite Star Wars movie?
Wow. The original one. Star Wars A New Hope. That's the one that started it all. Now, this prequels that came after, I couldn't keep up with what was going on, but the first one and how I think it changed sort of the way that you watch movies, and it was exciting and it was something different, and the characters and Darth Vader and Yoda and Luke Skywalker and the lightsabers and all these things, all these special effects that perhaps we were not so familiar with, and the scene of the fighter Jedis getting into the Death Star and I remember sitting in the bed in Venezuela and like fighting as if I was a Jedi into the Death Star, trying to kill the Death Star and destroy it. Yeah.
We loved Star Wars as kids. What? Yeah, in our household. Yeah. And on Disney Plus, there's some more Star Wars stuff coming up, so make sure you check that out. Anyway, thanks so much for sending in your tweets. They'll be back tomorrow to look back on the big one, the Champions League final. Make sure you join them then.